Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, how's it going? You're welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. 53106 is the text number. For the next half an hour, this is a Declan Rice free zone.
Who?
Exactly. John Giles coming away at 7:30. Kevin Kilbane on the football show, where he may come up in conversation. But between now and then, I'm implementing a little swear jar.
Right.
€2 every time his name is mentioned. See this? This little, you're going to put €2 in there, Dan.
Okay.
Every time you talk about, what's the name?
Who?
Well done. Didn't fall for it.
Can you tap it in the modern way of doing things, or do you just put
€2
into it?
Tap and go cup.
Listen, we'll take anything. You give me your card for a little while and it'll all be fine.
If the vending machine outside is tap and go, then that little cup can be...
That's dangerous. That was a bad idea.
Richard got struggling with the news round, though.
Oof. Well,
I'll be honest. Not really.
Let's just wait and see. Richie's forgotten about him.
He's
over.
He's dead to me.
It's done and dusted.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So Kev will be in to give his thoughts.
On?
The big news in Irish football about that young midfielder from West Ham who...
Josh Cullen?
...is a proud Englishman.
Oh,
narrowed it right down.
Irish under 21 international.
Mark Noble.
One time. It's part of the mystery. So John Giles, 7:30. Kevin, the football show. We'll have Shane Supple on the football show as well, chatting about the new League of Ireland season his retirement.
Yeah, it's not making me sad.
And of course, he was part of the Irish camp that somebody was part of back in June.
Last summer.
Last summer.
There was a couple of incidents last summer. He's spoken about it previously, although I think... We might actually sort of bring it up with Shane later on, but I think it's...
Be remiss of us not to.
Remiss of us not to, but he was sort of... he was in and out of that camp because Bowes were playing games around it. So I think you can also use that argument to say, I wasn't there for all of it, but I think, I've spoken to him previously on the record about he was there for some of it anyway. So
can he give him a hug from me?
I know you're...
He's going to be... I think he's going to be on Skype. He's Bowes' current player of the year, isn't he?
Yeah.
But they normally... They're not there, but it's starting the next season,
that's the
though.
Thing.
Are you at Daily Mount tomorrow night, Richie?
I'm not. Little lad's birthday tomorrow, two years of age.
Would you not bring him to Daily Mount as a birthday celebration?
Foster the love.
He's a bit young, and I don't think I have enough layers to get through the cold tomorrow night for a two-year-old.
Just thinking, start him young.
That's how you do it, basically.
Yeah,
it is.
Give them no choice. Make them suffer.
God knows, it is. It is done.
In the cold. It's suffering for the parents.
It's suffering to a degree.
I presume when I was a child, glorious I was a lovely suffering. Person to bring to matches, but...
I bring my kids to...
I bring them to Tala on a semi-regular basis to watch Shamrock Rovers. It's basically a similar pattern. So I arrive 30 seconds before kickoff because you don't want too much hanging around. Then they get to around half an hour before... When's half time? When can I get some sweets? When can I get a
chips
hot dog?
Yeah.
So they get that gets them through half time, and then you get 15 minutes in the second half, and then it's, I want to go home. But they can't just leave, and then they just climb over everybody in front of them, start running up and down the place, and eventually they shame you into leaving the match early.
That says more about your parenting than it does.
Well, it does that.
Game.
But listen, I presume this season now is going to be a new season. Everything's going to be far easier.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're heading into a different topic about facilities and stuff that's available, at the grounds for bringing your kids and stuff, which is a slight issue, I guess.
Well, Tala is a good place to bring kids. It's a pretty modern stadium. There's no real issues with the toilets, which is the one worry. That's the only concern you have bringing kids is that there are certain stadiums you bring them in, you're like, nah, you're not going in there. This is going, it's going to be a major issue, and that is a problem for League of Ireland clubs. But
yeah, no, it is a massive issue, and I would hope that there will be a time where you talk about start of a new season and don't have to raise some of these very basic points. That you do speak to people. I know, you speak to people who are curious about going, but they have their sort of preconceptions about the experience, which is absolutely fine for lads in their sort of 20s and 30s who don't mind sort of slumming it out or whatever it might be. That's actually part of the fun of the whole thing. But it's a very different story if you're thinking about bringing three kids to a game.
Yeah. What's your sense? Are you excited the eve of...
I'm very excited because you get to, there's games. There's that regularity of a Friday night, and the winter is just far too... the off season is just far too long in terms of that structure and habit. Like for a lot of people, who go to games, this is normality resumes tomorrow.
You know, I'm sure I never hear this really as a talking point, and maybe it's far off the radar and everybody's very happy. Is Friday night the best time for League of Ireland games?
Yeah, look, this came up a bit last year because there was a Saturday evening 5 o'clock game, Pats and Bows, just through, I can't remember, I think it might have been around an Irish international match actually, so they were moved to Saturdays. And Saturday evening actually wasn't bad, but it was during the summer. I think the problem is that you start in the winter season, or you start in the, you know, in winter weather as such, and then you go to the summertime. And I think in the summertime you could mess it around a bit and be a bit more creative and try maybe Saturday evenings or maybe Sunday evenings. Yeah. Sunday evening 6 o'clock has worked well for certain games at times, but
certain clubs prefer Saturdays. Sligo notoriously have been a Saturday.
Sligo like
club,
Saturday. Yeah. It's sort of peculiar to individual areas. The Friday night thing, you know, the floodlights, how that all came about was due to Sky in the 90s and the Premier League and Sunday afternoon suddenly being the. Like, it's not as if the Friday night tradition has lasted for 60 years. It's something that really goes back sort of 30 years, really, to a degree. Not even 30
Less.
Years. Less than 30 years. Sorry, actually.
Do the clubs get
years.
To make the decision themselves when they play?
Oh, they do.
The
yeah.
home team.
They do, yeah. I mean, I mean, Dundalk went through a phase of playing on Thursday nights, you know, for a while back in
Brighton,
sort of late 90s.
Season of Saturdays as well.
And you know, you can, you know, different areas. I mean, there would be an argument about should TV games be Friday nights, which is another one. Like, should Friday night be the night, but that the TV game on a particular week is put at a particular time, and then you take that away from the rest of the fixtures, so everyone who's at the other games can watch that game, and that becomes a bit of a thing. Thursday night has actually been mentioned for that, which I don't think would be a bad idea. I know there's Europa League on tonight, but I don't think, you know, a season launch tonight, a standalone game would be a particularly bad idea. I think it would work pretty well to kick it off, but then you have to be conscious of fans. There's always this, you know, Saturday, Sunday, a lot of people are involved in amateur football, a lot of people are involved in kids football, just, you know, various. You can always find a reason, and in some ways you're always trying to find reasons. The bottom line reason is that if people really want to go, the time doesn't matter that much. Like, the Bowes Rovers game won't be affected by
guaranteed
Thursday, Friday,
every
Saturday
time, yeah.
So you know, Dundalk sort of big games against Cork, and you've had games on Monday, Tuesday night that you can get through it, but I think the accessibility and the supportive facilities is a much more pressing topic that just hasn't been addressed enough over the years. You can look back to 20, 30 years ago when it was on Sunday, you'll still recognise some of the grounds. So that is a massive issue going forward. But I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think that's the biggest issue stopping people going to games?
I think it's pretty significant, yeah. I do. I don't know, like, to what extent are people like an arbiter of standard when it comes to wanting to go, because like, there's other things in Irish sport that people go and watch, and it's not the standard that makes them go. Like, there's part of the facilities, there's a loyalty, there's identity. I mean, people will go and watch their county GAA team because of identity and that community long.
Regardless of the facilities, which are some GAA grounds.
Yeah, there's identity and there's entertainment, and there's two things. You know, people trying to get people from counties that have never had a club to suddenly make a habit of going on a Friday night. Well, they're not going to have the identity to the team, so they don't have that. So what's the second thing? Well, that it's a good experience for them to go along, at least. That it's comfortable, you know, that they have that. So, you know, there's sort of two strands to it in terms of the recruitment. Like, I do think, I firmly believe that if you put some of the games in if the backdrop was different, I think it would look more attractive to people. You know, you sometimes see these brilliant goals scored in front of, like, rows of houses in United Park, whatever. I think it matters. Then you see Ian Morris, that stunning goal last year in front of the Pat Turner's Cross with the shed behind the goal. It does look better. There's no doubt that, you know, Stephen Kenny always made this point about his Dundalk team, that they actually, in Europe, they need these stadiums to showcase what they can do. So I think facilities in terms of people's perception plays a massive part in it. But I am looking forward to the year, because there's going to be some very good young players in it, and we do need some positivity around Irish football because of something that will not be mentioned.
Well, Kilbat is coming up in the football show, and we have a text in saying, I can't believe you guys are still going on about you're like a jilted boyfriend, let it go for God's sake, and I have to listen to Kilbat moaning about him anymore. I'll lose the will to live, says Kieran and Ranala. Well, got bad news for you, Kieran. Kev is coming your way on the football show from 9. Oh, lads, you just made my night. No more. From Mug.
That cough's terrible.
It is a bad cough.
It's a dreadful impression of a
cough
as well.
Give us reasons to be cheerful about Irish football in the absence of...
Has Ryan Nolan come on yet?
Not yet.
No.
I have the tab open.
So Ryan Nolan is on the bench for Inter Milan.
Yeah.
would I be correct in saying, Dan, we haven't had a single player play in the Europa League this season?
This season?
There hasn't been a single Irish player play in the Europa League or the Champions League, unless Johnny Hayes played.
Johnny Hayes has been in and around the Celtic squad again in recent weeks, and he's played a couple of times. I see he's on the bench tonight for Celtic.
To put that in context, 68 different nations have had a player play in the Champions League this season.
Mm.
We haven't had one. We haven't had a player play for an English team in the Champions League since 2011.
Yeah, well, it's actually Celtic. Gordon O'Connell, I think, was the last one to play in the Champions League group stages, and he's now playing down the leagues in England.
Sorry, this was meant to be a positive moment.
Sorry, it is a positive moment. What do you mean, Batu Borisov are beating Arsenal there? We've had teams compete with Batu Borisov in recent years. Why can't we be positive about what can be achieved? We've got Ryan Nolan. The people watch Championship highlights last night. Alan Brown.
Oh, Alan Brown.
Technically, not a player that would necessarily, technique is not the first thing that gets mentioned when you think about Alan Brown. You know, controls the ball perfectly, doesn't let it bounce 25-yard volley off to cross.
You're doing a bit of service. I'm going to say 40.
40?
40 yards
there. 50-yard volley.
I just saw it on Sky Sports News because he smashes his 40-yard volley off the crossbar. And it drops for Shaunie Maguire, who
actually steadies himself and
buries it.
Great. And the good thing about Maguire last night was he played through the middle. The guy Stockley they signed in the window was on the bench. And Sean Maguire really started through the middle last night and has come through touchwood a couple of games, fit, 90 minutes. You know, Sean Maguire, one of our own, you know, flying away, sticking in the goals. So, Alan Brown, 11, 12 goals for the season
11
now?
11 goals, yeah. Wow. I mean, running the show from midfield.
It's happening. I mean,
I'm excited already.
Defensive midfielders can't score you goals.
That's very true.
It's not such thing as a defensive midfielder, Dan.
One goal ever in the Premier League. Yeah, that's not an impact.
That's not an impact. Who's got the?
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know. So there's reasons to be positive. Ryan Nolan comes on.
Ryan Nolan's
not going to be in the squad, is he?
Oh no. No, I mean, there's a glamour about him being at Inter Milan. I have sort of caught, people say, well, why hasn't Nolan been around? I mean, you know, Inter Milan are a good club, but we have Corey Whelan at Liverpool and Quevin Keller at Liverpool isn't mad shouts for them. I know there was a bit around Masterson. There's just a bit more intrigue about him in Inter Milan. I mean, he has been playing youth league in the same competition as Troy Parra and a couple of other Irish eligible players. However, I think Kenny has mentioned them and. You would think the next under-21 squad he'd have to be.
It's an ideal thing for it's an ideal Kenny project is to have him be in his under-21 squad and give it a decent 18 months, 2 years possibly down the line. He could well be the guy running his midfield.
He could be, the thing is though is that
he's
at a top club and he could end up having to go to, you know, their version of a sort of a lower league club to establish himself. You know, this is always the journey. As I said, there's a bit of a glamour about the Inter Milan side of things that we assume there's going to be great things, and there's Ryan Johansson at Bayern Munich as well.
For anyone who doesn't know the Ryan Nolan story, before we sort of pat ourselves on the back for developing this player who went off to Inter Milan.
He
was born in Ireland, spent the first few years of his life in Ireland.
He was eight when he left Clare and went to Murcia in Spain. And then it was the Casaraghi, Pierluigi Casaraghi, like the senior, the older one who passed away a couple of years, who discovered him in some youth tournament of some description. And he was taken to Inter Milan. And yeah, he was in pre-season. He was involved. You know, he was sort of on the fringes of their pre-season. And as I said, playing the youth league, and there was one game where Troy Parrott was striker and Nolan was centre half, and they were playing against each other. But there have been times where he's been left out of Ireland squads because other people were ahead of him, including someone I can't mention.
You can mention him. You just have to cough up €2, Dan.
Yeah,
Question in on 53106. Can you ask Dan something? I think I'd hate it if the League of Ireland became mainstream and really popular, and I think lots of League of Ireland fans feel the exact same. If everyone shows up, we'll no longer be able to moan about nobody showing up.
Yeah, I see, but that needs to go.
You're the problem.
Yeah, but I also think that sometimes when the League of Ireland is like the angry minority who complain, who actually the image of the League
they're
of Ireland
very
fan,
angry and they're very loud about it.
But they get shaped as the majority, but it's actually not the case. There's actually a lot of people who go to games who don't view themselves as part of some culture or anything like that. I just hate that whole stuff. I just think that's had it. That whole thing really annoys me. Because there's plenty of people who go to games who support clubs in England and like other sports, and they're not...
Lots of people go to games because they just like football.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes people discuss like the League of Ireland supporters and think, oh, those sort of nutters who are always complaining about everything all the time. They're not actually a representation of the vast majority of people who just go. And to me, like, what the League of Ireland needs to do is just become part of the sporting discussion, that some nights, some Fridays people go there, some fights, Friday nights they might go somewhere else. Like, that it doesn't have some sort of label or tag attached to it. And as I say, you know, sometimes the angry minority, that's used to characterise League of Ireland fans as a whole as well, which actually sort of annoys me too, because, they spend a lot of time contacting radio stations and newspapers, and then people in radio stations and newspapers get annoyed by these people and say, bloody League of Ireland fans going off the whole time. But really, they're not actually, you know, I don't meet people every Friday at games who are frothing at the mouth.
And they're not standing there taking names when they come in.
No.
You weren't at Anfield recently, were you? No. Get out of here.
No, that's most definitely not the case.
What do you got for us, Richie?
As you mentioned, Republic of Ireland under 18 midfielder Ryan Nolan could make his European debut for Inter this evening. The Shannon-born player named on the Serie A side's bench for their Europa League last 32 first leg away to Rapid Vienna. Latest score from the Austrian capital is Rapid 0, Inter 1. It's a Lautaro Martinez penalty that separates the sides. That came 6 minutes before the break. They kicked off at 5:55 as well in Belarus, where it's Batse Borisov 1, Arsenal 0. It was Stanislav Dragoon who headed the host in front just before half time. At 8, Chelsea are in Sweden to face Malmö after their 6-0 defeat to Manchester City at the weekend, and some full and frank discussions.
Malmö.
What did I say?
You said Malmö. I thought it was just a posh pronunciation of
no.
Malmö.
I think you find it's the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, I think he's on board with this, yeah.
Richard, when do we call them Malmö?
Well, what do they call themselves?
Well, we can't get into that.
Yeah, we can.
Are we going to start calling every team by the way they... what do you call Red Star Belgrade?
FK Surveillance Shveta.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You do not.
I do so.
So, it's called a Malmo, Richie.
Let's put Red Star Belgrade for the network readers because they don't know. Anyway, after their 6-0 defeat to Man City and some full and frank discussions.
In joke, but it's a deep
radio in joke, but that's made waves in the radio world.
Chelsea boss Maurizio Sarri wants his players to put forward a better showing tonight.
But we want to win. We want to react immediately. We talked all together for 1 hour the day after the match. But I think that it's better to work. It's better to react on the pitch.
By the way, I just want to mention that there is still time for you to get involved with the Irish Heart Foundation's Show Some Heart campaign, which was to coincide with Valentine's Day. To support the campaign, get on to irishheart.ie/. Dan, you're a relatively newly married man. What are you doing volunteering to come in here tonight?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. To be honest. I mean, maybe I just agreed to the day, and then I was like,
balls.
What day is that? I mean, that's my excuse, obviously. I didn't consciously just come in here and
okay
to avoid anything. I mean, I didn't do that.
No one suggested you were avoiding anything, Dan.
No.
What are you doing here? What are you avoiding? Working. You just have to, like...
Wow.
Put bread on the table and all of that.
Everything's okay.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah. Well, it was.
Okay.
It was, yeah.
If you need someone to talk to, you know, we're here. We can chat off air and make sure everything's all right.
Well, you can get a list.
Yeah. We can get a takeaway in while you're here, Dan, if you want. You know.
Yeah,
what do you want with your Chinese?
Do you like tongue chips or... Watch some kind of, you know...
The Notebook. Was a bit Christmassy.
The Notebook's not Christmassy, is it?
Is there something more...
No,
I've never seen it.
Something more laddish then, you know. Is that what you want to upbeat?
Okay, to cheer yourself up.
Yeah.
Dan's gone home to watch Green Street. Yeah. The redevelopment.
Don't mention Green Street.
Why?
We'll be going down a route then where we'll end up talking about our good friend again.
Who?
Who did they support in Green Street again? The fans?
West Ham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Lads, with the greatest of respect, most won't pay the money to go to League of Ireland. They just love to watch the telly from Carl Phillips.
There's a bit of that. Well, people don't like to pay for
anything.
Too many things. You know, but then, of course, they'll go out for a few pints and like spend all that money in one go. I mean, I can't really preach on this topic, but you know, your concept of money can be very convenient. I wouldn't pay a tenner for that. And then, you know, you'll spend 20 on something completely different.
Speaking of the concept of money, the redevelopment of Páirc Uí has cost almost €10 million more than originally estimated. A report by two stadium board members returned an estimated cost of €95.8 million in late 2017. The estimated cost stood at €86 million. Meanwhile, Cork's footballers and hurlers will have to play the remainder of their league games away from Páirc Uí. Provisions were made in the new estimate to replace the Páirc's pitch after it chewed up quite badly during a recent league doubleheader. It's Páirc Uí win for both the hurlers and the footballers from here on in.
How are we still at a stage where the stadium is built, has been opened, games have taken place, and we're still estimating
that
cost?
That, I don't get that at all, because this came out, was it last week or the week before, where the head of Croke Park was quoted as saying that Páirc Uí cost north of €100 million, or in and around €100 million, whereas the original estimate, obviously, as I mentioned, stood at 86. So two board members had to go off and discuss where this had come up to. I think the estimate part of it this time around covers the fact that they don't know how much exactly the pitch is going to cost to replace.
Right.
So that's going to be somewhere in seven figures, possibly, is what
I heard. It seems like an awful lot of money for a stadium as well. I was just looking there. Now, granted, it's 13 years ago. The Liberty Stadium, Swansea City Stadium, which is a smaller stadium, but cost €27 million. Like, Páirc Uí is a new stadium. I'm not sure how modern it is in comparison to other brand new modern, particularly when you look at some of the ridiculous stadiums in American sports. But like €100 million for a stadium that doesn't have too many covered stands.
Have you ever tried to build that in Ireland, Nathan?
I get this.
I can see how the cost. Yeah, exactly. Trent Ballantyne, and all of a sudden, you know, you just add to it as you go along. But yeah, there seems to be an attempt in some of the statements, just sort of from watching it a bit from afar, to sort of try and query, you know, did someone step out of line initially in what they said, and they're trying to, like, I don't know.
Well, the fact that, you know,
I'm trying to pick the words carefully, but it just seems to be avoiding the blame game, you know, to ensure that everything is fine for further down the tracks. But clearly there has to be some degree of accountability here at some point. And now there seems to be an attempt after the initial story, which caused such a storm, to produce different figures. Different figures have been raised now. So, but it is, there's public money has gone into this, you know, at a time when there's a lot of people crying out for sort of public funding for sports. So if you embark on a project like this, you sort of need to get it right. I know it's not related to this, but even the fact that the pitch is sort of out of action at the moment, it's just an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, we had Mick Foley on talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and as part of the Cork plan, and basically how the debt and the cost of the stadium is very much the stadium's, it's not the Cork County Board's. Which means that Cork County Board can continue to try and actually progress and do things on the pitch. Now, whether the two should be linked or not, I guess, is up for people to make their own mind. Mm-hmm. But it does mean that somehow this stadium is going to have to wash its own face eventually.
Yeah. And how do you do that if I don't know, look, we have too many sports, we have too many grounds in Ireland in certain cities, but this is a separate debate about the use of, you know, different grounds for different sports and so on. But, I mean, there's a lot of stadiums in Cork.
Yeah, you know? Páirc Uí, Turner's Cross, yeah. Irish Independent Park. Yeah. Do we need them all? Are you suggesting we get rid of Turner's Cross?
Well, I think you just need to be smarter, I think. You know, I think you need to be smart. I mean, if it's heading into a broader debate, but you could probably have better facilities and probably spend less money if you had a bit more of a collective effort. But that requires a lot of people.
Our Cork listeners won't be surprised yet again that Dundalk are, you know, questioning them in many ways. The people of Dundalk.
Who's from Dundalk here?
You're the Dundalk representative.
Marty, can't you know?
It's much of a muchness. Good news on the rugby front.
Yeah, Ian Henderson's recovered from a thumb injury to start for Ulster in tomorrow evening's Pro 14 meeting with Ospreys in Bridgend. The second row selection puts him in line for a return to the Ireland side in next week's Six Nations game with Italy in Rome. John Cooney's also been released from Ireland duty to start at scrum half tomorrow night. Meanwhile, Chris Farrell and Andrew Conway both start for Munster in their meeting with the Southern Kings. That's at the aforementioned Irish Independent Park tomorrow night. Niall Scannell, John Ryan and Billy Holland are the others freed from the Ireland camp to start in Cork. While UEFA are to investigate post-match comments from Sergio Ramos following Real Madrid's 2-1 win away to Ajax in the Champions League last night, the Real skipper picked up a late yellow for a foul on Kasper Dahlberg that will rule him out of the second leg at the Bernabeu. In a post-match interview, Ramos told reporters he'd be, quote, lying if I said I didn't force the booking, describing the act as a tough decision. However, Ramos tweeted afterwards that his yellow was not an intentional way of being free to play in the quarterfinals. UEFA have also opened disciplinary proceedings against both Real and Ajax over several supporter-based incidents. Real and Ajax both were charged with setting off fireworks, while the Eredivisie club faced further charges of throwing objects and an illicit banner.
It's hard not to admire Sergio Ramos in many ways.
Yeah.
He's the ultimate in shithousery.
Every single time.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat the old... I mean, football has a long tradition of convenient bookings. I mean, there was... I remember speaking to an Irish player once who, based over in England, who used to like to get home for Christmas. So if you want to get home for Christmas, how'd you get home? You know, you're on that 4 yellow card threshold. There's 5 minutes
Miss
to go
Stephen's
in,
Day.
In the last game.
Yeah.
Want to get home for Stephen's Day.
I'm almost sure Ramos has done this before. It is ringing so many bells to think that he's like, there has been an instance of this before, Ramos.
Well, it wouldn't be surprising. Yeah. There's a silent R in Gibraltar. It's pronounced Gibraltar from Jack and Sanctuary. Presumably he's pronouncing that in a British accent because it's British territory.
Is Jack from Boston?
Is there a silent R in Gibraltar? Is it Gibraltar?
I'd never heard that before.
If you're British, Gibraltar.
Gibraltar. Going to find out.
We are going to find out. I'm just worried we need to get the correct pronunciation so we're not set upon by these Brexiteers. So I don't know if it's Gibraltar, we need to find
this
out.
This could be a well-known trick to smoke out sort of...
Oh,
you know.
yeah. Richie, ask him what way Malmo's great rivals IFK Gothenburg is pronounced.
Göteborg.
I've never heard you say that. Ever. Ever.
That's how it's pronounced.
Bit of rod for your own back. Took my two lads to watch Munster play over the Christmas in the old Thomond Park many years back. It was -3 in the car. Had to leave at halftime. They were frozen. Moral of the story... Leave the kids at home, says John in Limerick.
Well, you might have someone minding them, though. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah.
Especially around Christmas.
Teach them a good life lesson.
I was at Dublin Galway a couple of weeks ago on Croker, and by God, I nearly died of hypothermia. It was freezing.
Proper GA, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hardcore.
And there's still people who feel the League of Ireland should come back to a winter season. I'm like, I mean, it's absolutely insane talk.
You shouldn't have sat in the cheap seats, Richie. You should have got yourself a nice corporate gig and you could have had a nice relaxing evening at Croker.
We're not on Nathan Murphy's,
unfortunately. You know, I'm just
we're
saying.
Not on Nathan
just
Murphy's.
Saying, I am available for Dublin Mayo next Saturday if anyone just wants, you know.
What would you do?
Hang around with them.
Or like do a voiceover or something?
I'll take one of Richie's voiceover gigs.
You won't.
You name it. Dan, you're hanging around for the football show?
I am.
Shane Supple is going to be with us. Kevin Kilbane in studio as well. Richie will be here with us for the evening also, keeping an eye on all the Europa League. Badia Borisov still 1-0 up against Arsenal. 15 minutes left in that. John Giles is up next.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.